Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Do we live in a way where our changing of our mind begins to operate in the fleshly world we live in? You see, many times we want to get hit up with something. For instance, I'll use me as an example. A few nights ago, started feeling like I was getting a bladder infection. So if there's men listening to this, I'm so sorry. This is a woman's meeting. And I got a bladder infection, and right away, I had to tell myself, whoa, whoa, whoa. Am I going to just, like, you know, go to all the methods of what, or am I going to tell this thing to go away? And so I started speaking to it and saying, you will not live in my body. You cannot stay. You will not, you are not allowed to stay. And in the name of Jesus, I am healed by the stripes on the cross. And I began to drink more water, do the things that I knew to do, and I started feeling fine. Last night, I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning in pain. And I was like, oh, heck no. Because I knew what it was. I was preaching today. I have struggled for this message. I knew the attack of the enemy. You see, I don't live in a world where I understand and I just deal with and, oh, woe me, I got sick. No, I live in a world that I have to look at the spiritual side of things because the enemy is seeking whom he may devour. He is knocking on our doors and he is testing our faith. And he wants to know where we stand. And so I got up last night and I began to pace and I began to pray and I began to tell that thing where to go. I began to speak in tongues. I thought my family all heard me. They all slept in peace, which hallelujah. And I just began to pray and I just began to declare the work of the Lord. And an hour later, I was able to go back to sleep and I was fine. And let me tell you something, girls, it's gonna be a fight. Living a life of faith is not just easily comes to us. It doesn't just come because we're pretty or we're God's girls. And you know, oh, everything's wonderful when you meet Jesus. Listen, when you meet Jesus, the enemy's mad about it. When you find out who you are, he's mad about it. When you find out what your authority is, oh, he's mad about it because then he's scared. And so we have to then begin to operate in a new way of thinking. And this is a new way of living where our fleshly and the world we live in, we bring it into the supernatural realm and we take authority in that way. So we're going to learn about that today. Doing the impossible and doing life in faith is not always our way, but it's always God's way. This can only be achieved through faith in Jesus. And the greater is he, listen, girls, that's living in you than he that is living in the world. If you've asked Jesus come into your heart in 1 John 4:4, it says, you are from God, little children, and have conquered him, have conquered them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. When fear wants to come in, when you want to turn on that news and fear wants to grip your heart because you don't understand where our country is going. Maybe you don't understand what your husband is saying to you and there's some things, very scary words coming out of his mouth. When your children are going down a road and a path that you never wanted them to go down. Greater is he that is living in you than he that is in the world. You take back what the enemy is taking from you. You take back the ground that the devil is so putting in front of you and telling you that this is how it's going to be. You see, we do not have to settle for mediocre. We do not have to live in a world that is beat up, defeated, and broke down because we serve a God who is risen from the dead. We serve a God who is powerful, almighty, supernatural, omniscient, beginning and the end. He knows the middle. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. So why do we live like we don't know? God was really challenging me in this. Hebrews 10:36, he says, for you have need of endurance. This life is hard. People are going to hurt your heart. It's just how it goes. Humans will always say something, do something, hurt you in a way. And let me tell you something. That's why we need endurance, to love bigger, to stretch out our arms and say, I forgive, to move past it in faith. Even though I don't feel like it, I'm going to move past it because God's word says I can. God's word says I can get past this sickness. God's word says that I can get through these financial issues. God's word says that I can believe for salvation for that family member. God's word says that my heart can heal when it feels like it's never going to heal because it gets broken over and over and over again. You see, that's endurance in faith. That's endurance in who God is. And then in Hebrews 36, it says, for we have need of endurance so that after you will have done the will of God. Girls, we have to be in the will of God. Pastor Dan talked about bitterness this weekend. In the first part of this message, you will get the second part on Saturday and Sunday. So you need to be here. Because the first part, he talked about holiness and about how when we are unholy before God, that it brings bitterness into our lives and how serious God is about our holiness, right? So when we are in the will of God, we are walking holy and righteous unto him. You may receive the promise, verse 37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and not tarry. Oh, thank you, Lord, that we have hope in that. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. Are you just? Are you a daughter of the Most High God? Are you praying the will of God over your heart, your life, and your family? That is what he's requiring of us. And when we do that, we begin walking and living out something called faith. We begin to look different than what the world sees us. Those people that knew you in high school would look at you now and go, you're a totally different person because you're not operating how you operated then because you're living by faith. And it says, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back to my sinful ways. I don't want to go back to my gossip days. I don't want to go back to those days that separated me from God and made my heart be like, ugh, I just don't know God. I don't know if you're real. I don't know this and I don't know that. Because I know that I know that I know he's real because he's been faithful like we talked about. I know that I know that I know that I can believe in what his word says like we talked about. And now I know that I can live by faith because of everything that he has done that has gone before him. The days that we are in can be weary and they can be weak. You will have good days and then you will have down days. That is a very normal thing for humanity, right? But when we do not put on our gloves, Michelle, come on up here with those gloves. Now, they gave me a handheld mic, so I'm not able to wear my own gloves. So Michelle is going to be my boxing girl. Now, remember, we talked about we put on our gloves and we take on that fight, right? When the enemy comes against us and we fight the good fight of faith. And so, Michelle, when the world is hard and you don't understand things, you're going to go ahead and hit me. It's all right. It's all right. You're going to beat it up. Now, when you're having a down day, Michelle, I want you to put one hand up, but girls always keep one up. You can be tired, you can be weary, but always be on guard. Always be ready for what the enemy brings, because you know what happens? All of a sudden, your faith man begins to stir up, and you realize the attacks that are coming against you on those hard days, and all of a sudden, both dukes come up. And all of a sudden, the enemy's like, oh man, she still remembers who she is. And all of a sudden, you just start swinging, and you go to the right, and you go to the left, and you go to the right, and you go to the left, and you tell him, go back to hell, you foul thing. You cannot have place over me, my life, my heart, my family. I will not take on depression. I will not take on these things. Thank you, Michelle. That is what God is asking us to do. In Romans 1:17 in the Living Bible, it says, the good news tells us that God makes us ready for heaven. I don't know about you, but I believe here on earth we are being prepared for heaven. We are being perfected for the kingdom and for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't want to go before my Maker unholy and not ready to go. I want to be able to go before my Lord and he says, oh, well done. You did everything I asked you to do and you did it in faith. You did it because you didn't feel like you could do it, but you did it through me, daughter, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud that you pushed through. I'm proud that you had endurance and perseverance. I'm glad that you stood in faith and you didn't let the enemy come down and knock your door down and try and break your wall apart because, you know, he's going to try. He's going to try and tear your wall down. He's going to try and break you up. He's going to try and get you defeated. And if he does, he loves to kick us while we're down. And do not give him place, girls. Because in Romans it says that he's making us ready for him, making us right in God's sight. Ooh, I love that. And when we put our faith and trust in Christ to save us, guys, listen, when we ask Jesus to come into our heart and be the Lord and Savior of our life, that didn't just happen. We had to have faith that when we prayed that prayer, that this amazing God came inside of our hearts and became one with us. And that was something supernatural, right? We had to have faith for our salvation. We had to have faith that our sins were washed away, that the blood of the Lamb came and he washed and he cleansed us. That took faith in order for you to receive your salvation. And that's what this is referring to. That's the biggest miracle you can believe God for. All right? The biggest miracle. And then it says, this is accomplished from the start and from the finish of our faith. As the scripture says it, the man who finds life will find it through trusting God. I want my faith walk to be in trusting who God is. Not what the world is telling me, not what my heart wants to tell me, not what my emotions want to tell me. Gosh, if we live by our feelings, we would be a hot mess. And listen, girls, we can easily do that because we're very emotional beings. I am raising two boys and I swear they are way more emotional than my girl. And so I don't know if that's always true, especially that middle child. So I just want to say God is good and he's faithful. Vernon Ground says, I love this, see the invisible, believe the incredible, and girls, do the impossible. See the invisible, believe the incredible, and let's do the impossible. What is too big for God in our lives? Sometimes you might feel overwhelmed, but can I put you something out there for you? He never feels overwhelmed. Your situation is not too big for him. Your situation is not too small for him. Your issue is not too intense for him. Your situation is not too extreme for him. All he's waiting is for you to begin to speak. And when you speak and line your words up with what God says is a two-edged sword that sharpens and that cuts through the enemy's plans, and faith begins to stir in the hearts of us, and it begins to melt away the darkness, and it begins to stir things up in the spirit realm, and all of a sudden something supernatural begins to happen with our natural. And when we put our natural and our super together, it becomes supernatural. And that's what God is requiring of us. I want to live a supernatural life. So then, Pastor Jess, that sounds all great and dandy. I just want to be that girl, but I'm not. So how then, girls, does God want us to live this life of faith? How does he want us to take those next levels? And how does he want us to step into who we are and what he's requiring of us in faith? Number one, you guys ready? You got your paper and pen? We have to pray faith-filled prayers. And you go, what? That's just so simple. That's so easy. You know, I pray and he hasn't answered my prayers. Listen, have you prayed the word over your prayers? You see, there's power in the word of God. We talked about this last week. What is faith? Faith is believing in what his word says. If his word says it, you're praying the will of God, then he can do it and he can manifest it and it will happen in your life. It may be delayed because it may not be the right timing for what you're praying, but you stand in faith and you continue in it. And I have never been forsaken by God. I have never, ever been let down by him. There are still things I'm believing for, but I know that he is true to his word and that I'm speaking in faith, and I know that he is more than able and he's more than a conqueror, and I know that I can stand on his word. And believe me, when the enemy comes and knock, and I pull my scripture back out and I tell him to go back to hell. And listen, girls, that's the kind of girl I want to pastor. I don't want to pastor any wimps. I don't want you to be wimps, because if you get into church and you hear what the word of God says and it gets shut up in our bones, we all of a sudden something, our spirit man comes alive when the enemy attacks and we go, oh hell no. You have messed with the wrong girl. You have taken the wrong territory. You will not steal my marriage. You will not steal my kids. You will not steal my husband. You will not steal my health. You will not, devil. And girls, you have to begin to take ground back. He's taken your ground for too long. You have not prayed the faith prayers because you got weary and tired. You said, oh, well, it just didn't work. Listen, God never not works. But have you lined your prayers up with what the word of God says? Because this isn't about us and this positive thinking guru stuff that the world wants to tell you. This is about a real God with real faith, and faith activates heaven. God begins to move when we break in through the spirit realm. And I'll tell you something. I have seen God move. I began to start thinking about maybe a story or an example that I can believe God for and that I could tell you guys about. I'll tell you, I just do not understand how people don't live without him, because every moment of my life was flashing through my head and I'm going, no, I had to get in faith for that one and that one too and that one too and that one too. And well, he showed up there and he showed up there and I had no idea that was going to happen. I mean, it is a journey and a fun ride to be with God. I'll tell you, living by faith is a fun ride. It's never dull. And what kind of prayers are you praying? Remember last week I asked you to pray those scary prayers, to pray those prayers that you were like, ooh, I don't know. Because, you know, if I pray it, then God's going to require some things of me. You know, or I don't want to pray that prayer because that's crazy, God, you know, but God is requiring us to pray some crazy prayers. God is asking us to pray things that we never knew we could pray for. God is asking us to pray in tongues when the enemy is coming and you don't know what to do. I'll tell you something. I know you all might think I'm crazy, but I was driving just 2 weeks ago with my husband before the inauguration. I was driving, and we were driving home, and the kids were talking about random things, and Dan was talking about something else, and I'm like, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for President Trump. And I just started praying, and they all looked at me like, you're crazy, lady. What are you doing? I'm like, and Lord, I don't know what's going on in his heart, but I pray that you keep his heart. Lord, I pray that you would speak to him like he's never heard anybody speak. Lord, I pray that you guide every step. And I just began, and Dan like called on. He was like, yes, God. Okay, Lord, we just pray right now. And it was such a weird, random moment. And I'll tell you something. I know it was a God moment because when I opened my mouth, I literally could not speak any other words. Like I was trying to talk to my kids about what they were talking about and I couldn't, and I felt so dumb just starting out in prayer like that. But you know what? I moved past how I felt and I began to pray, and I felt like I was doing something that the Spirit of God knew I would do. He could trust me to pray that faith prayer for a president I don't know, and I don't know where he's going. I don't know what he's doing, but I know God can take his heart and God can guide him. You see, this is what we have to do as a body of Christ. I don't care how you feel about him. It is not your job to hate. It is your job to pray. It is your job to honor and respect the authority, listen to me, that God has put in place. We may not like it, but that does not mean anything, because it is not about what we like or don't like. It is not about how we feel. That is what this life is about. Most of the time, we don't like anything in life. Girls, we can complain about it all, can't we? We can be like the number one mucho complainer in our family, right? But this is where faith comes in and says, I don't care how I feel. I'm going to do what God asked me to do. And you know, that's the woman of faith God can trust. That's a woman of faith God can trust. And so let's pray those faith-filled prayers. Matthew 21:22. I love this verse. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. You go, that's just so simple. It is. It really is. But why can't we have that simple kind of faith? We are the ones that complicate God. We're the ones that go, well, maybe if we did this and we did this, and then, oh, that girl didn't get it because she was probably sinning and this and that. You know what? Don't be the judge. Pastor Deborah talked about it on Sunday night. If you want a message on judgment and what your job is as a Christian, go back and listen, because that was good. We are not the judge. We are the ones who are to intercede. We are the ones who are to pray. And when I pray, I will receive, because if I ask it in the will of God, he will answer it. This is a promise for us. So girls, just reach out and take it. I don't know why we fight ourselves so much, but reach out and take it. You want your businesses to be blessed? Reach out and take it. You know, you want your kids to serve the Lord? Reach out and take it. Lord, I just declare that their hearts are not going to be swayed by the things of this world, and that the people and the influences in their life that are not godly will fade away from them, Lord, and that they would serve you all the days of their life. Begin to pray some incredible, crazy prayers, because that's where God goes, she knows her word. And my word, I can't go back on my word. I don't deny my word. And I will not be counted a liar, because he's not a liar. And so, they're praying my word over their situation. Oh, that means faith has activated heaven, and we can begin to move into the spirit-filled realm. So faithful prayers is what gets God going. For me, I was this young girl who had every wrong relationship in the whole world. Has anybody else in this room ever had that? And I would meet the wrong guy after the wrong guy. And I don't know what it was, but I was just like attracted to like the jock, you know, the cool guy, the one who like, you know, one of my boyfriends bench pressed me, which I was like 100 and something pounds at that time. I just thought he was so great. You know, no, he was actually horrible. And, you know, he didn't have a car and I had the job. And okay, hello, girls, you want a man with a car and a job. All right. And so I just remember feeling like after that broken relationship, and so much stuff had happened through that relationship, and I was in really just a place of brokenness all by myself. And I just remember reaching out to God and saying, okay, God, I'm going to pray some crazy prayers right now. And I said, Lord, I cannot pick the right man for myself. I find the wrong one every time, and I get attracted to them. I think it's the devil's in it all. And I said, God, I need you to guard and protect my heart. So, Lord, I give you my heart, and I ask that the next man that comes into my life, God, that is your will and your way for my life, that he will ask you for my heart. Little did I know that Pastor Dan was going to come around the corner 6 months later. And I didn't tell Pastor Dan none of this. I didn't say anything. And when we first met, we started dating, and I said to him, I don't want to waste my time. I really just don't want to get into a relationship. I don't trust myself. It wasn't that I didn't trust him. I just didn't trust me. I was a hot mess with men. And so, and he was like, okay, yeah. And so we separated and we fasted. He went on a mission trip and I was doing ministry and we fasted and prayed if we should date. God told us not to date for 3 months, for us to just remain friends for 3 months. I'll tell you the day that 3 months was over, it was May 3rd and we were ready to date. It was like we were counting down the days because we knew we wanted to be together. And then it was, you know, not even 6 months later that we ended up getting married. But this is how I knew when he came back from the mission trip, we talked and I said to him, well, I don't want to tell you what God told me because I don't want you to just copy what I, you know, what he told me. I was so spiritual, right? And so, not at all. And Dan goes, well, fine, I'll just tell you. You know, he's so easygoing. He's like, whatever, I'm going to copy, but here we go. This is what God told me. God told me that we need to, you know, be friends for 3 months. I go, that is really funny. He told me the same thing. After those 3 months, in that time of our friendship, Dan said that he was in the car and the Lord told him, you need to ask me for her heart. And so he came and he prayed and he asked the Lord for my heart. Now, listen, I was a hot mess. Remember, this is a virgin. Good man, loves God with all his heart. I'm not a virgin, hot mess, whole bunch of baggage, okay? So I'm like, oh, Lord God Almighty, like, you really do restore all things back. So I just was so grateful. And Dan had to deal with those things. He'll tell you. He's like, I had to go before the Lord and be like, why? Like, I wanted my wife to be pure and holy and all this stuff. And the Lord, so then I prayed. While we were dating, Lord, I pray that you would restore everything back, like everything. God can restore everything back. So what the enemy has taken from you, God can restore it all back. Those things that we don't think or know. And I know this can be a really gross message, but listen, please don't think of me like that. But it was really special. And I actually did lock myself in the restroom because I was so scared. And this poor man of 21 years banging on the door like, come on, we're married. And I'm like, go away, I'm so nervous. Like, you know, I was just like, and so I just could not breathe, and I'm still that way. Is that funny? So, like, God gave back my modesty. He gave me back my confidence in who I was as a woman. He made sex a beautiful thing. Everything that I prayed, God answered. And we ended up, and when he came and told me, hey, God told me to ask you for your heart, that was it for me, because I didn't tell him, and I knew that only God knew that, and only I knew that. You see, pray those crazy prayers, because God is on your side. He's waiting to champion your cause. He knows what's in your heart. He's after your heart, girls. And when your heart links up with the holiness of God, he can't deny you that. He's excited about that. It's like a good parent that says, oh, my kids are doing the right thing. Let me get in there. Let me do this. Let me bless them. That's where God wants us to go. So that's how we begin walking this journey of faith. Number two, we have to speak faith over ourselves and over our lives. Not just pray it, but when you're in conversation with your girlfriend, talking about your situation, how about you turn the complaining of your husband and the complaining of your in-laws and the complaining of, I don't know, your finances that are never there, that just somehow never show up? Or how about those kids that just annoy the junk out of you? Turn your speech around. Speak what God says about those things. Begin to speak what you don't see. You see, I speak those things as if they are. That is what God is requiring of us and asking of us. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. Verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and his present with us with you. See, because God did it, we can do it. You say, well, I don't get this. Jesus walked the earth, Pastor Jess. Of course, he laid hands on the sick and he spoke and things happened and they just manifested. Did you know that when Jesus left this earth, that he left all authority and power to you? He left it to his church. But we don't operate in it. we actually don't use the giftings and the callings God has placed on our lives, and we began to live like we're broke down, busted, and disgusted, and people look at us and go, why do I want to be a Christian like them? Always complaining, depressed, never in faith. No, I don't want that. I already live like that. We cannot look like the world. We have to speak different. We have to talk different. We have to say things different. You see, the light of the world is through us. So what are we speaking over ourselves, over our families, over our jobs, over our positions, over what God asks us to do? What is coming out of our mouth? I believe that God has set us up for this in Ephesians 1, 18 through 25. You see, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that Jesus, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of his glory and his inheritance in the saints, and what is his exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of heavenly places. Listen to this. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in which is to come. I love this part. He has put all things under his feet and gave him head over all things to the church. You are the church. He has gave that to us. That is ours to take and to use and to tell the enemy where to go and what to do. We don't just pray our prayers, I believe in Jesus, I know what God is. Listen, I'm glad you do. So does the devil. He knows who Jesus is. The demons themselves believe he's God. They're very aware of who he is. It's one thing to know it. It's one thing to take our authority in it. Do you see the difference? That means, wait, the enemy is coming and he's speaking things in my head and he's saying things in my dreams and I'm allowing him to roam around my home and deal with him and I'm just kind of more afraid than I am to confront him. Oh no, baby girl, that's when you start speaking and you say, you foul spirit, shut up in the name of Jesus. You go back to hell where you came from. When your body begins to scream at you and the pain just wants to come back and wants to come out, pain in the name of Jesus, you have to go. Now that may be every second of your day. But do you believe God can heal you? Yes. Is he working? Yes. Then in the meantime, you begin to speak what his word says. His word says, I'm healed by the stripes on the cross. The word says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. His word says that I am not the tail, but I am the head. His word says that I can go forth and I can do. And listen, girls, begin to speak what you don't feel. You say, this is a name it, claim it church. Absolutely 100%, because I have a God in heaven who loves me, who knew me, who paid a price for me, and for me to live on this earth mediocre is such a waste of his death. And I will not live with wasted potential. I will speak what God asked me to speak. I will get in faith about things that are not easy for me to get in faith about. I will stir up my girlfriend when she says, I'm broken and I'm tired and I'm weary. We need each other, girls. I can call my friend and be like, I had a bad day. And she will, you got this, you got this, you can do this, come on, you were made for this. All right, yeah, okay. And I'll tell you, you just kind of rejuvenate yourselves. I can get in a meeting with the girls here and I'm like, guys, I'm just not so sure about what I'm doing. I mean, we could talk about our weaknesses. But then what do we do with each other? We say, okay, I see where you're at, but listen, let's talk about what God says. Sometimes you need that girlfriend to hold you up, to lift you up, to say it's okay to keep going. And all of a sudden you get yourself back in faith, you step back into the spirit realm, and you speak what God says we need to speak. Let's not let what he has for us go to waste. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. He who has promised, remember, let's go back to the first message. He's faithful. He's faithful. Therefore, I can speak it. I can be confident in it because his word says he will do it. Number three, we're going to take action in faith. It is one thing to know it, one thing to speak it. Now, what do I do? I do not want to be a person that just stands by and waits for Jesus. Okay, whatever he's doing, I'm going to do nothing about anything and just wait on him to do everything. That's not how he operates. Did you know that? He says that you are now his hands and you are now his feet. And when he asks us to do something, we have to get moving. Because faith without works is dead. So my faith has to link up with my natural man. My faith has to link up with what's happening in my world. And sometimes that means I'm knocking on this door and that didn't work, so it closed. Okay, fine. Now I'm not going to, you know, God's word says, so I'm going to knock on a different door, and I'm going to knock on the next door. I'm going to find out what God wants, and I'm going to take a step of faith, and I'm going to do those things, and I'm not going to be easily offended when I don't hear what I think I should hear, and I'm going to be a courageous person that steps out and is active in my faith, and God knows that he can trust me to carry out his will and his way in my life, in my family's life, in my church's life, that God can use me as a minister of the gospel. You see, that is what God is asking of us. James 2:14. I wasn't going to go here. I don't even have it on the overheads for you. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and pull it out. Actually, they might have it up there. Do you guys have it? I don't know. James talks about this a lot. So if you just like have some Bible study time for yourselves, go back and read the book of James this week. Can you guys do that? It's not a long book. You can do it. Okay. James 2:14-26. It says, faith without works is dead. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled. Have you ever had someone do that to you? You tell them your need and they're like, yeah, good on you. Be warmed and filled. I used to have a Bible college teacher at Rhema, and he would say, our faith is funny because sometimes we're like, all right, I believe in faith with you, and you really don't pray for them. You really don't link your faith up with what they're believing for. You really don't. So challenge yourselves. When someone comes to you and they want you to link their faith up with you, then you really take that seriously, because this is a God issue. This is a God assignment. Link your faith up with them. Don't send them off warmed and filled, but believe what they're believing for. I had a friend that just came up to me recently, and they asked me to pray for something. And I remember going, is this what you want, God? I remember feeling that way. Like, Lord, is this the direction you want them to take? And the Lord said to me, link up your faith. Link up your faith. It's okay. And then I was able to just pray and believe and know that God had it, and it was under control. And they began to do what they needed to do to see God fulfilled. Verse 16, and then one of you says, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, and you do not give them things in which are needed for their body. What does that profit? That does no good for them, right? That would be like us saying, come get food from our FDC, but we're not going to actually give you food. We're going to just preach a message and send you on. Well, hello, their bodies need to be fed, right? They came for the food. So God is good. We'll give them both. We'll give them spirit and we'll give them food. Verse 17, thus also faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith without my, I will show you faith by my works. You believe that there is one God and you do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. Whew. Scary. Verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And then it goes on. I'm not even going to continue on. It talks about Abraham and how Abraham took Isaac, the one son. He was so excited that God answered his prayer. And all this, remember, we talked about Abraham last week and how he was in his old age and God provided a son for him. And God said, take your son up and sacrifice him. And Abraham actually had to go through it. He literally brought his son up to the altar, laid him down and put the, and then there was a lamb that came out of the thicket. You see, God will come through, but sometimes our works have to be seen by God so that he knows our heart will follow up what our faith is saying. And God answered Abraham, and Abraham had descendant upon descendant upon descendant a blessing. You see, God is faithful, but we have to be faithful in what he's asking and requiring of us. Philemon, you don't have to go there. It's a hard one to find. Philemon 1:6 says that the sharing of your faith may become effective. Ooh, I love this word. It means in the Greek, it's ingenerous. I'm probably saying that wrong, but it's ingenerous. It means to be active, to be courageous, to be an effective worker for the gospel. That's what that word means. I want my faith to be effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Listen, you are on active duty. You are on assignment. You are doing what God is asking you to do. So begin to carry out your faith walk. Be ready for what God puts in front of you and do on a daily basis what he's requiring of you. And there's this lady, I want to tell you her story. I sat at a wedding this weekend and you would know her. I'm not going to mention her name, but she sat by me and just a gorgeous, gorgeous lady. And she began to tell me about what God required of her in her older age. She's older. She should be retired. She, you know, should just be living the dream. And God asked her to go back to work. And God told her to go work at Loma Linda. And she has been so blessed at Loma Linda. God has used her so much that she says that daily, she gets people saved daily. She knows that she's on assignment. She knows she works the front desk, and then they asked her if she wanted to be chaplain, and she was like upset with them because they told her that we're getting rid of the New Testament. We're not handing them out anymore because it talks about hell and we don't want to offend people. And she was like, what? You know, like, we need to tell them about hell because that's where they're going if we don't tell them. And so she's just on fire lady, right? And she told me this story about this lady just last week who was sitting, I guess, you know, in the part where the cancer is being treated, and she was meeting with a surgeon, and the surgeon came out, and she was there as support. And the surgeon told the lady, there's nothing we can do for you. Nothing. We've done everything. There's no hope. It's all over your body. And she, all of a sudden, she goes, man, my spirit man rose up. Like, you ain't taking this lady. And so the surgeon said, would you come with me to the husband really quick? And so the husband and the surgeon walked out of the room to go look at something on a computer in the other room. And she goes, I moved in right then. And she goes, I said to the lady, no matter what your destiny is, do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? And this lady's like, oh, no, I want to go to heaven. And her daughter was sitting there and her mom was sitting there. And they all prayed the prayer of faith. They asked Jesus to come into their heart and be the Lord and Savior of their life. Listen. We're on assignment. That's our faith in action. You don't just go to the store to go to the store for what you need. You go to the store ready to go, okay, if I run into someone, God, you're going to just meet my need. You're going to tell me what to say. Lord, how can I be a blessing to someone else today? You got financial problems. You better be tithing, number one. Number two, you better be blessing other people because God will open up the windows of heaven. He is not one to deny you of that. Do not ever let money, mammon, become your God. He's your God. You be faithful in what he asks of you, and he will meet your need. Can I get a witness from anybody in here? He's faithful. That means you might have to put into action what you've been holding back from God. He's not pleased with your greediness. He gave you everything. It's all his anyways. You see, New Testament requires all of us. Did you know that? Old Testament was 10%. New Testament, really. If you preach it right, it's all of us. It's everything. It's all of it is his. And so if that's it, that means my heart, my mind, my will, my emotions, everything belongs to Jesus. And when I am on my day's route, what am I going to run into? What is the enemy going to bring to discourage me? What situation am I going to face? And what will be my response? Ask yourself that question. What will be my response? Will it be right away anger? Okay, then I need to deal with anger. I need to write that down and say, okay, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will help me to not be angry and not sin. Help me to not to be long-suffering. Help me. You see, you can start pulling the word out for yourself. Find out what it is in our hearts that need to be changed so that on our assignment, God can use us and we could be effective in what we're doing. Brother Hagin had a story. I love his story, and so I'm going to read it to you. He says that he was in a church where they were ministering, and there was a man who had been burned all over his lower part of his body, leaving him unable to walk. He just scooted his feet along on the floor. During the healing service one evening, this man came forward for prayer. The Lord had told me what to do, and when I came to this man, I said to him, "Can you run?" Astonished at such a question, he said, "Oh no, I can't even walk, much less run." Then I said, "The Lord has told me to tell you to run." This man didn't even give it a second thought. He just turned and he started scooting up the aisle as fast as he could. He scooted around the church and in this manner for 3 or 4 times. By the time he got back to the front, he was walking normally. This man was perfectly healed. He acted in faith. Sometimes we're going to have to push back how we feel. And I'll tell you guys, most of the time, you're going to have to push back how you feel. You push back if you're going to be embarrassed. Push back if you don't understand why it's happening. Because remember, we are not operating in the natural. It's going to be supernatural. It won't make sense. Because God doesn't operate where we operate. We see through a veil right now. One day, when we get to be with the heavenlies, in the King of Kings in the throne room, he will stretch back that veil. We will see clearly. We will understand everything. I cannot wait for that day because I have lots of questions, so I hope I remember them when I get there. But we see dimly. But we can walk in faith. And that is a faith that our heart knows that God will answer, that I'm going to act out on, just like this man. What if he would have said, no, I can't run. I can't. You're crazy. What are you trying to tell me to embarrass myself to walk around the room in front of all these people? That man was like, I'm in. Like, I'm desperate. I want what God has. And he got his healing. What are you desperate for? What do you need to act out in? What is opposite of what you're believing God for? Do that. Do opposite of what the enemy tells you to do. You say, I'm an introvert. I don't want to reach out. I'm really uncomfortable with other people. Listen, get outside of yourself. You say, I'm an extrovert. I overwhelm people. I annoy them. That's me. I totally get it. Do you know that I sat in a room with my brother and my sister, which are introverts, and Mike Keys and Ethel Keys. You remember them? They're introverts, right? So me and Dan are sitting there at dinner or at lunch after church. I could tell the story. It's okay. And they're talking about this person in the Philippines, and Luke's like, yeah, hey, what happened to that guy? I really enjoyed him. And Mike and Ethel were like, oh, yeah, the talker, the one who talks a lot. And she's like, yeah, the one who talks a lot. And Luke's like, yeah. And I'm like, this is what they say about me when I'm not around. This is how they see me when I'm not around. I'm the talker. So I told my parents, because they're extroverts, and they were like, we're the talkers. Like, people see us, like, as the talkers. So listen, embrace who you are. Whether it's an introvert or extrovert, God made you that way because, listen, you touch people's lives no matter how you are because God made you that way. So be who you are and do it well. So today, in our journey walk, we learned how to live by faith by praying, right? Faith-filled prayers, by speaking what God says, and by taking action and doing it. We are doers of the word, not just hearers. You guys sat in here and you heard it. Now you need to go out these walls and do it. Okay? Awesome. If you got something from God's word today, go ahead and give him a hand.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.